Pate on the public road. Chutam some possession dropped. Tishtati it remains. Dishtarakshitam protected by destiny. Grihe at home. Stitam, although situated. Tatvikita vihitam, struck by the will of the Supreme. Vinashyati, it is lost. Jivati, remains alive. Anatta appi, although without a protector. Tat ikshitaha, being protected by the Lord. Vane, in the forest. Grihe, at home. Abhiguptaha, well hidden and protected. Asha, of this one. Ataha, struck. Na, not. Jivati lives. Translation. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street where everyone can see it, and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. So you can repeat. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street. Where everyone can see it. And yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Thus the man who lost it gets it back. On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. These are examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plans to protect or annihilate do not act, but whatever He thinks of doing actually happens. The examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has had such practical experiences, and there are also many other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother, but in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a supply of good medicine and an experienced physician, a patient does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto Him and seek His protection. So, pati chutam tishtati dishtarakshitam grihestitam tadvihatam vinashyati jivatyana topi tadikshito vane grihe vigupto shahato na jivati. So, omagana timananda shaganjana shilakaya chakshuran miritam gena tasmai shigarve namaha. So, before going into the topic of the verse, this particular description brings out a news story I heard many, many years ago. There was one extremely rich person and I don't remember his name, but he thought he was going to protect himself from death, so he situated himself high in a skyscraper. What was that?
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes, you're right. So he situated himself high in a skyscraper with filtered air, guards all around, you know, and he wouldn't let anyone near him, and guess what? He died. And he was extremely rich, and he wasn't able to protect himself. You know, good doctors, whatever, like that. And you're not able, he wasn't able to protect himself. Sometimes we find people who are very paranoid. I mean, even there was one guru outside of the ISKCON society, and he doesn't let any ISKCON devotee near him, and anybody goes near him has to be checked to see if there's any bacteria. I'm not going to mention who it is. Krishna Priya knows who I'm talking about. And it... big Krishna Priya knows who I'm talking about. And you know, he's extremely paranoid about getting some disease or getting sick or something like that. And then sometimes you find people going in the airplane, they're extremely paranoid, they're wearing the mask. Of course, that may be a good idea in the airplane. So, of course, accepting protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't mean that we do something foolish, like we don't wear a seatbelt. Sometimes we find devotees, they put their seatbelts on, don't really clip them in the clip over there, just so they don't get a ticket. But the seatbelts are meant to protect you. So we have to take some steps to protect ourselves and not act foolishly. Anyway, that's one point. The main point I wanted to talk about was, as Prabhupada mentions in the last sentence here, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto him and seek his protection. So I wanted to talk about this concept of surrender. Because you hear this many times, especially, you know, temple presidents tell everyone under them, you should surrender, Prabhu. And so I want to sort of expand on this concept of surrender and also mention that Hiranyakashipu here is mentioning one of the six symptoms of surrender, elaborated on by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very interesting. Even though he's not surrendered, he's what we call a hypocrite. A hypocrite means someone who says something and doesn't do what they say or doesn't, not consistent with their particular philosophy. So there are six symptoms of surrender, and these six symptoms are mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, of course, is a summary study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these six symptoms of surrender first appeared in Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Sanatan Goswami. And of course, Sanatan Goswami had renounced everything, and previously he was in jail because he tried to renounce everything. The Nawab put him in jail, and he was able to escape. And even he renounced the 8 gold coins that his servant Ishan was carrying, and even he renounced this nice chatter that was given to him by Sri Kanta, his brother-in-law. That story is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That when he was crossing the mountains to go see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw his brother-in-law, Srikanta. Srikanta gave him this beautiful chatter. And then when he arrived to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, first of all, this is an interesting story. When he knocked on the door of Chandrasekhar, then everyone thought that he was a Muslim mendicant, so he had a long beard. Like that, a big beard, because he was traveling for some time. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the first things Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was he told him to become clean-shaven. And Prabhupada actually said that this is a symptom of surrender to Srila Prabhupada, actually, that one should be without a beard. And even Prabhupada called the Chatur Masha, following where a devotee doesn't shave, he called it Chatur Mess. And so Prabhupada said that his disciples are Kesha Hin. They're clean shaven. So anyway, that's another point. So Sanatana Goswami was clean shaven to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then after that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was continually looking at the charter that Sanatana Goswami had gotten from his brother, his brother-in-law, Srikant. And so you can imagine Lord Chaitanya looking at your charter like that. I don't know exactly how he looked, but he kept staring at the charter, and Sanatana Goswami understood that it wasn't appropriate for someone in the renounced order of life to have opulent clothes. And later on, Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami when Raghunath Das Goswami asked him about renounced order of life and the duties of those in the renounced order of life. And one of the instructions was, those in the renounced order of life should not wear fine clothing, nor eat opulent food. And there's other instructions, nor think of women even in dreams, and always think of Krishna in your heart of hearts. So, anyway, so then Sanatana Goswami sat down and got these wonderful instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on surrender. Not on surrender only, but on the principles of bhakti, which he would write up about later on in many of his literatures, like the Hari Bhakti Vilas and Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is a very nice story that illustrates attaining the absolute, attaining the highest destination. So this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22, deals with this particular instruction about surrender. And this is where Srila Prabhupada obtained these principles of surrender, one of which is mentioned here in this verse. And also Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu these six principles of surrender. So they're actually very important aspect of understanding Krishna consciousness. And, you know, if we have time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writes a whole songbook about the six principles of surrender. Those are good. The songbook is called Sharanagati. And I'm actually preparing a seminar this for the summer camp on this songbook, Sharanagati. So I don't know if we'll have time for that. But first I want to talk about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Lord Chaitanya delineates these principles of surrender. And there's actually a prerequisite to accepting the symptoms of surrender, the six symptoms which we'll mention in a second. And the prerequisite is mentioned earlier in the chapter. It's chapter 22 of the Madhya Lila, as I mentioned before, in text 33. And 34. Text 33 states, Krishna tamara hai yare vare ekavar maye banda haite Krishna tare kare par. One is immediately freed from the clutches of maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am a sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service.
Did you say chapter 22?
Chapter 22 of the Madhya Lila. These chapters are very, very important. And this the chapter is entitled The Process of Devotional Service. So even before Lord Chaitanya starts describing the different practical aspects of devotional service to Sanatana Goswami, you know, the sadhana process, then he actually talks about the symptoms of surrender, and which is very interesting. So anyway, so the next verse, text 34, is also instructive in this regard. Sakrit eva prapano yas tavasmiti cha yak jate avayam sarvata tasmai. So this, of course, is a Sanskrit verse. It's not Bengali. It is my vow that if one, only one, seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So what does that courage mean? I mean, normally we think of courage as pertaining to someone who is fighting in a battlefield. Actually, there's a very interesting Socratic dialogue about courage. You know, what is courage?
I don't know if any of you read this dialogue, but very, very interesting, that Plato wrote about. And there was actually no conclusion at the end of the dialogue, because Socrates was always pointing out faults in people's definitions or people's arguments. He was using what we call the maieutic method of trying to understand things. Maieutic means like a midwife, trying to show how people's arguments are fallacious, so gradually they'll come to the right conclusion. So in any case, we understand courage meaning faith. That is faith in Krishna, that Krishna will take care of one. And the first two principles of surrender, not the first two, but the middle two actually mentioned here are actually indications of faith, understanding the Lord will always protect one, the Lord will always maintain one. So in the text 100, the six principles of surrender are actually mentioned, and I'll read this text and the six principles of surrender. Okay, sorry about that. So in text 100, the six principles of surrender are actually mentioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, and the text is as follows: Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishya titi vishwaso gotritve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye sad vidha sharanagatihi. And of course that Sharanagati is the name of this book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poems. So the translation is, the six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give one protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. And I'll read Prabhupada's, at least part of the purport. One who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. And I just want to reiterate, these are actually prerequisites for understanding pure devotional service and coming to a higher platform in devotional service. One, the devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering of transcendental service to the Lord. And it's interesting, Prabhupada here says, devotee has to accept. Has isn't like an imperative. And in other words, as Rupa Goswami states, that if one doesn't accept something favorable for serving the Lord but renounces it, then that's called phagu vairagya. In other words, false renunciation. Of course, the word phagu, Prabhupada also says, is in relationship to this river called the Phagu River. And this river appears to be dry, but if you go right below the surface, it's there's water running. So in other words, one appears to be renounced, but actually he's not. He's attached. So if someone gives up something that can actually be used in Krishna's service, then that person is actually attached, not actually renounced from this material world. So devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering and transcendental loving service to the Lord. Two, and there's also another imperative, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is also called renunciation. So in other words, throughout our lives and throughout our days, we should be examining things to see if they're favorable, to increase devotional service, to help bring more people to Krishna consciousness, to make ourselves more Krishna conscious. And those things should be accepted. Those things that are favorable. And those things not just should, they must. Yeah, just very interesting how Prabhupada uses these imperatives, you know, has to accept, must reject everything. So if something is not favorable, one should not declare themselves to be surrendered unless they're ready to give it up. That is so interesting. Three, a devotee must be firmly convinced, and here's this imperative again that Prabhupada is using. And it's interesting The imperatives are not used in this particular verse by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Prabhupada is purporting it by using the imperative form. You understand? The must form. Has to. A devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection. And being firmly convinced of this is called faith, which I mentioned before. This kind of faith is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. A devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotee and gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. And number four, a devotee should accept Krishna as the supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he is being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna. So, you know, indirectly, this is an imperative here. Considering him the only protector, the devotee must be firmly convinced, there's an imperative again, that within the three worlds he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. Five, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. In other words, have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord. And then sixth, the devotee is meek and humble. And that's the end of it. Not the end of the purport. Prabhupada has more in the purport here, but that's all we'll read right now. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Sharanagati, actually recites these six principles in a different order, which is also interesting. And I'll read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's order. He actually starts with humility. So it's very interesting. I mean, both orders are actually bona fide. We're not saying that one is better than the other one. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur applying Krishna consciousness to the modern day and age gives us something that we can meditate on insofar as the hierarchy of the different principles. So I'll read the Bengali. This is from the introduction to the Sharanagati. Before he actually... Each of the chapters in the Sharanagati deal with a different principle of surrender, which is interesting. And there's two additional chapters in the end, one that deals with long and intense hankering for Krishna. Because once you surrender, then the intense, you know, volume or intense hankering actually occurs in one's heart. So let's read the six principles as elaborated on by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Dainya atmani vedana gotritve varana avasya rakshive krishna vishvasa palana bhakti anukula matra karyara svikara bhakti pratikula bhuva bhava Varjana Gikara. So the principles of surrender listed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur are as follows. Humility starts with humility. In other words, one has to come to the point of Nirmana Moha Jitasanga Dosha Vyabandicha Vinibhrita Kama. As Krishna also states this as a prerequisite in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the 15th chapter of the Gita, he talks about this reflection of the banyan tree on the water, how the roots are up and the branches are down. And then he says how to escape from this. He actually talks about humility in the beginning. Nirmana moha. Be freed from illusion. Jitta sangha dosha. Being freed from bad association. Of yatna nitya, being situated in the self, vrinivritta kama, giving up lust, dvandvar vimuktar, being liberated from duality, like sukha dukkha samgya, which means like sukha and dukkha, gacchanti muda, if someone is not bewildered in that way, padam avyam ta, he can actually achieve the supreme destination. So Anyway, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur starts with humility, and then he says, surrendering oneself to Krishna, accepting, next one is accepting Krishna as one's maintainer, to have firm faith that Krishna will give one protection, the next one to accept activities that were favorable for devotional service to Krishna, and to reject activities that are unfavorable for devotional service to Krishna. And it's interesting, he starts with humility, just like Srila Prabhupada stated, that if someone knows or has taught themselves how to play the piano, first of all, you got to convince them of they don't know anything. And Prabhupada actually said that's part of our preaching. At first, we have to convince people that they don't know anything. The Prabhupada said one time, he said, you take a straw in your teeth and you say, oh, my dear intelligent, I'm just paraphrasing what Prabhupada said, that, you know, please understand you don't know anything. Like Lord Chaitanya did with Sarvabhauma, he illustrated that in his interactions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought he knew something. He thought he knew about the Vedanta, and he wanted to teach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vedanta. And in fact, he even wanted to reinitiate Lord Chaitanya in a higher sannyasa sampradaya. And that's a question I always have, because sannyasis are only supposed to initiate other sannyasis, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with a household or so. I mean, I don't have an answer to that. But anyway, it's a question I always had. How could he as a householder reinitiate someone in the sannyasa order? But in any case, he wanted to teach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the Vedanta to help Lord Chaitanya become more renounced from the material world. Because he was afraid Lord Chaitanya, being very handsome and attractive, would not be able to keep his sannyas vows. So, like for 7 days, he was teaching Vedanta. And at the end of that, what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? He said, I didn't understand anything you said. He said, I understand Vedanta, but you know, I don't understand anything you said. And that sort of like pulled the rug out from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, isn't it? He said, what? He didn't understand anything I said. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to explain Vedanta, especially explain this verse called the Atmarama verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he was able to come up with so many translations, permutations of the different words and translations of the individual words that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya ultimately surrendered to him and composed these 100 prayers in Lord Chaitanya's honor. And actually, when Lord Chaitanya, it's interesting that Lord Chaitanya was so humble too that he actually ripped up the prayers. So we only have like two of the prayers that are extant right now. Of course, one of them is Vairagya Vidya Nijavati Yoga Shikshartha Eka. Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shavira Dari Kripam Budhir Yastvam Aham Prabhaje. That, my dear Lord Chaitanya, that you've come to teach renunciation from this material world and knowledge, Nija Bhakti Yoga, in the process of devotional service. Shikshartha Eka Purusha Purana. You're the original person, and this is your teaching, your one teaching. And you've taken the form, Sharira Gavi, Kripam Buddhi Yastram Aham Prapajay. And then, Aham Prapajay, I surrender. So he had to be brought to the point of humility first before he could actually. And we see this sometimes, that people who think they know about, you know, spiritual life, it's hard to teach them, like Prabhupada said. Okay, so let's just read one or two verses in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poem about humility. There's actually 8 poems about humility written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the devotees should study them. Actually, there's 7 poems, sorry. 7 poems. Sometimes there's 8 in each chapter, sometimes there's 7, sometimes there's a few less. So anyway, so the first one is, I'll just read the English. O Lord, because of forgetting your lotus feet, I have come into this material world. Ever since that time, I have been suffering various material miseries. Now I've approached your lotus feet to tell you the tale of my distress. It's amazing poetry here. The second one is, O Lord, when I was within the womb of my mother. So this is abject humility, you know, just like, I don't know anything. I've been suffering. Help. Or as Prabhupada said, that one should chant the holy name of the Lord like a child crying out for his mother. And Lord Chaitanya also said that in the Shikshashtra. He said, Ayananda Tunujakinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavamburo. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. I'm suffering in this horrible material world. Actually, the direct translation is a horrible material world. So please take me and establish me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet or the dust of your feet. Oh my Lord, when I was within the womb of my mother, as a result of my karma, you gave me darshan. But since then, I've been deprived of your mercy. At that time, I thought I would worship you after being delivered from the womb. After my birth, however, I forgot you because I became entrapped in a network of illusion. In fact, I do not have a tinge of genuine knowledge. Actually, we don't have time to go any further than this. So, anyway, so this songbook by Bhaktivinoda Thakur should be studied by the devotees. It's called Sharanagati. There's many different songbooks written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So any questions or comments? Yes.
Prabhupada used the example of a guitar teacher.
Yeah.
Who would ask if someone had experience playing a guitar. He said, oh, yeah, I do. And they said, well, then you have to pay twice as much as the other person because you have to unlearn everything you did before.
Yeah. That's the point. I mean, better to know nothing and admit that you know nothing than to think you know something. I mean, actually, that was the Socratic point when Socrates was declared to be the most intelligent person in Athens. The oracle at Delphi said Socrates is the most important person, and Socrates explained that because he said, I know that I don't know anything. Whereas everyone else thought they knew something, and Socrates at least knew that he didn't know.
The worst place to be is not known to think that you're
that's the worst place.
The best place is to know
and know
and realize what you know.